Chapter 9. Incus Maximal, Mons Primus, Check 5, 2020-5924. Acid snow was already beginning to pile up around the Thunderhawk. Erquidex hoped to take that as a positive sign, meaning that they planned to return for it. The gunship continued to disappear as he was hustled away from it, and that was when he realized. It had been expended to bring them down and was now being abandoned so as not to double the risk of discovery with a second flight. The ubiquitous Thunderhawk was the cheap, standard template design workhorse of the Adeptus Astartes, as easily thrown to the ice in the name of necessity as any organic servant of him on Terra. The air temperature was beyond freezing, and yet the snow burned where it touched bare skin. He pulled up his hood. Stormtroopers in glassy black carapace and cold-weather survival gear crunched through the snow. 2 dozen of them together hauled the truculent orc by its chains. Steam billowed from its mouth, and icicles of saliva bearded its jaw. The sisters surrounded them like a warding hex, power blades spitting in the falling snow, causing the brute to snap and lunge and claw at its temples, only for the chains around its wrist to yank taut and bring half a dozen stormtroopers skidding towards it. The Space Marines of Kill Team Stalker, Erquidex could no longer see. They had pushed well ahead, and the sub-zero conditions had frozen his optics on near view. The landing pad projected from the upper bulge of the Mons Primus. It led onto a long ambulatory with great arched windows detailed in brass, alternating from one side to the other. They ran down it, the drugged orc determining their pace. Snow swept in through the left-hand windows. They had previously been glazed by a conversion field that would have converted the impact of each flake of snow into glorious, eclectic light. Erquidex could see the emitters. They were unpowered now, several of the arches cracked. The siege savants of Incus Maximal had authorized the destruction of the planetary capital in a bid to stem the orc advance onto the planet's last Mechanicus enclaves. The wreckage of the Ark ship Contrivenant still drifted in orbit. The view from the left now was frozen and dark because of it. Flickering exchanges of fire lit the silhouettes of Forge Basilici as if in crude mea culpa for the destruction of the conversion field. The traces of explosions went largely unremarked. A wink of light here, the dim rumble of a collapsing superstructure there. By the time Erquidex saw the doors at the end of the ambulatory, the Thunderhawk was just another lump, indistinguishable from any of the forgotten lumps around it. Erquidex's digitools twitched through a signum code rendition of the last rites. Hakon and Numenes held the doors as Tyris, Vega, and Gadriel surged through. The ambulatory led to a covered chamber, and the first greenskins that Erquidex had seen alive. There were 6 of them, gathered around a metal barrel of cleansing spirit with a lid torn off, sitting on sturdy tables as if they were benches. Their necks were as thick as iron hawsers. Their biceps were the size of promethium drums. Erquidex was wholly unprepared for their brute immensity. The intense fungal stench overpowered even the astringent chemicals. A volley of silenced bolt rounds dropped them before any of them could so much as grunt, and Tyris and Vega powered through, smashing the tables aside to make way. Erquidex followed in behind the stormtroopers and sisters and looked around while his optics warmed through. It was a narthex. Here was where pilgrims would congregate to wait, pray, and suffer the requisite physical deprivation to earn the Omnisire's admission to the temple proper. The columns were bronze, the floor and ceiling were ribbed, and the walls were decked with cabling. Pistons glided in and out of their sleeves, but they were without function, symbolic of the perpetuity of the machine god's power. The distant pops of gunfire echoed through the chamber. Tyris voxed a whispered all clear. The other space marines started after him with a startling lack of sound. Erquidex pointed the way, bypassing the ascensor to the penitent stairs at the far end of the hallway, doubting for a moment that he had seen the orcs alive at all. Just 6 corpses, no different to the tens of thousands shipped to Mars for dissection. The penitent stairs led to a corridor its walls adorned with tablet slabs stating the universal laws, and then on to another set of stairs. The metal newel rattled loosely as the Death Watch powered ahead. Erquidex was only halfway up and feeling the lactate burn in his limbs when the roar of bolter fire carried down. A dozen orcs were dead and sprayed roughly over the atrium's cuneiformed bronze walls when Erquidex stumbled onto the scene, but twice that number were still fighting. They were machine orc perversions, xenotech abominations of an engineer class. Slug bullets sprayed from crane-limbed servo harnesses, plasma blasts ripped craters out of the walls. Vhagar dropped to one knee behind a devotional font and disgorged a jet of flaming promethium from his bolter's combi attachment. An orc engineer wheezed through the flames, shuddering armor harness alight. It didn't seem to notice. A multi-barreled volley cannon attached to its fighting suit with swaying ammo belts began to whine, then to howl, and the font disintegrated. Vhagar and Numenes went down. Icegrip took a glancing hit to the pauldron just as he was swinging up his frostblade. Tyrus's return fire spanked off the orc's armor like rain hitting a drum. Erquidex had just started screaming, metal splinters from the destroyed font lodged in the organic attaches of his eye, when he felt Alpha 13 Jazal's cyberguised frame slam him against the wall. The Skitarius grunted as bullets riddled his titanium exoskeleton. A squad of stormtroopers formed up behind him and opened fire. Laz fire stitched the atrium, brutally impressive as a laser display and as wasted as one of the thick skulls of the orcs. The boss orc shrugged off the trooper's attentions, beat one in half with a twist of its power claw, then lost the arm to the downward stroke of a sister's blade. She withdrew a step, pivoted on her toes, and with terrifying grace backhanded the orc's head from its shoulders. Her sister stood protectively over Erquidex and the growling orc psyker as the third took the fight to the orcs. Tyris, Gadriel, and Icegrip fought hard to match her battle grace. The last engineer had backed itself into a corner. It took a short burst of bolt rounds to the gut, which then erupted from its back and painted a streak on the wall as it slid down it. Vhagar rose, clutching his hip, liquid sealant bubbling up from the rents in his armor.
"I can't continue,"
he rasped. Numenes didn't rise. Gadriel crouched over him for a second, fingers to his throat, and spoke a prayer to honor the fist exemplar's lost gene seed. Tyris was already thumping towards the great set of double doors that the orcs had been guarding. There was no stealth now. The stylized plasteel was no match for the Space Marine's powered strength, and he shouldered the doors apart without breaking stride. In fact, he was still speeding up, bolter up and firing again before the doors had slammed back into the walls. Vhagar, Icegrip, and a moment later Gadriel walked into the return fire without the slightest hesitation. Erquidex was awed. Here was the Omnisire's glory, expressed through biological perfection and the genetic mastery of the God-Emperor of Man.
"Squads Alpha and Beta, left and right!"
roared Colonel Rothy, as men surged forward and held a hand to Erquidex to indicate that he should remain exactly where he was.
"Delta on me! Cover the payload! Go!"
The Aps Mechanicus was a technological marvel in copper, polished mica and gold, cross-hatched by gunfire and smoke. At a prosaic level, it resembled a temple of the Creed, but the pillars that upheld the vaulted ceiling were not monofunctioned stone, but great pipes that trembled musically with the Omnisire's breath. The machine god himself was represented in sanctified metal at the end of the nave. It was more than just a statue. Its miraculous mechanics had breathed motive force into the lights, the energy fields, and provided Hyboriax its heat. It ran still, its isolation splendid, but its outward connectors had been hacked out of the walls. A necklace of human ribs hung from its cog-toothed neck. A crown of bent metal sat crooked on its head. Squads Alpha and Beta lacerated the defiled space with lasbeams. Orcs built like armored walkers turned around as though unexpectedly spat upon. A missile screwed across the nave from a crude shoulder-mounted launcher and wasted two men to armor-plast scraps and flesh lather. Alpha 13 Jazal's caliver deoxygenated the air with rippling volleys of superheated plasma that left two orcs as molten husks. Overheated runes glowed a dangerous amber as the weapon steamed off into the cold. Rothi roared. The troopers focused their fire, and 20-plus convergent beams managed to finally punch one of the Xenos brutes down. Luckily for the mortals, the Space Marines had the Orcs' attention. Tyrus advanced at speed towards the right transept, going column to column. Controlled bursts punched the Orcs cleanly down as they moved towards him. Wild returns ripped open the ornate pipes, mangled them as though grenades had blown them apart from the inside. Vega, meanwhile, advanced slowly down the centre, his limp growing more pronounced with every step. Heavy gunfire slugging his battle plate, he dropped to one knee and rolled a grenade down the aisle between two blocks of plug-in banks. It burst into a thick pall of smoke. Tyrus disappeared, but for the muffled sound of him, Vega became a ghost. Oquidex could barely make out the silent sisters beside him. Without his optics, he doubted they could see him as well, but they appeared as unflustered by their sudden blindness as they were by everything else. "The weapon must be deployed as close to the centre as is possible," said Oquidex. "If the test is to yield meaningful data, then it must be done properly." He looked back. Rothi was there. He had one hand pressed to his ear, the other cupped over his mouth. "Lord Issachar, come in! Lord Issachar!" One of the stormtroopers, left dragging the payload, cursed as it began to pull back against them. "It needs another dose!" "No," Oquidex replied. Xenos species reacted unpredictably to human pharmacopoeia. Even subbreeds could show eccentricities of response. He began to see why Kubik had recommended him for this mission. Few, if any, knew as much about Veridi genetics as he did. "It must be as conscious as possible. I don't know how the somnambulum might interfere with its psychic powers."
"Then release it now!" yelled the stormtrooper.
The orc was small relative to others of its species, but more than equal to the five men left holding it. The soldier's arms were wound through the chain and his feet braced, but he and his comrade beside him were being drawn back regardless.
"Here, then,"
said Oquidex, and signalled as much to the one sister of silence still beside him. She took a step back. He took a deep breath. Fortunate that he was in a house of the Omnissiah. He wanted his prayers heard.